Well, this is beautiful and warm in Texas. I love it here. It was 20 degrees at home this morning. My husband texted and he said, "It's 20 degrees here." I said, "I'm not going to tell you what it is here." Well, I would like to thank God for this incredible opportunity to teach at His Word here at the Sugarland Ladies Bible Church, or Sugarland Bible Church Ladies Retreat. I am so excited to be here, as Deb said. And I'm really glad that I finally figured out that I was not going to Dallas. I would text Deb and say, "What's the temp in Dallas?" And she'd say, "I don't know, but in Houston, it's such and such." She said, "You need to keep telling yourself, I'm flying into Houston. I'm flying into Houston." So anyway, here I am. I made it to Houston. I'd also like to thank the leadership at Sugarland Bible Church for allowing me this opportunity and for their support and prayers. Since July of last year, when I was invited to teach, I have been praying about what to teach on, and I believe that the Lord has directed me to the theme of applying your victory in Christ. This weekend, we will look at victory over death through the gospel, victory over sin through your identification with Christ, victory over legalism and self-dependence through the power of the Holy Spirit, victory over Satan through the armor of God, and finally, victory in the trials of life through faith resting in God and His Word. I've had the privilege of reading, studying, and meditating a lot on God's Word as He has directed me and used His Word, first of all, in my life, so that I can share with you what He has so graciously taught me. But let me say, I have in no way arrived, for I struggle in all of these areas like everybody else. I am a sinner saved by grace, and I stand before you by God's grace. And I have been praying for you for a long time, and you being here is an answer to my prayers. And thank you for praying for me. Many women have come up to me and said, "I've been praying for you," and that is just so touching. That means more to me than if you were to hand me $1,000. Prayer is amazing, and so I really appreciate that. And please keep praying for me right up through the end of this retreat. Let's see if I can work all this stuff. I hail from a land of 10,000 lakes, and I feel like I'm kind of in a sister city or something, because I'm from Minnesota, and you are this is Navasota. I'm sure you've never heard it said like that before. Well, this is the grandest lake, being Lake Superior, and this is the aerial lift bridge. What a beautiful city. However, in the winter, the scene changes a bit. And this is why I guess we're known as the Frozen Chosen. Thank goodness it only lasts about 5 to 6 months. This is why I did not know how to pack. I mean, I've been wearing long sleeves and vests and boots and hats and mittens for a while, and so I just packed anything I could think of, and someone told me, "There's no clothes police here, so you'll be okay." And here's a picture of my loving husband, Sonny, who helped me a great deal with my messages and my PowerPoints, and I know he and many others are praying for us right now. And this is what I found in my suitcase when I got here, a little card. He always home makes his cards, always. Inside is a picture of our grandson in his hockey gear. And it says, "I and many others will be praying for you." Exodus 4:12, God to Moses, "Now therefore, go to Houston, and I will be with you." "I will be with your mouth and teach you what I want you to say. Love you." So he's much better than I deserve. And this is our only grandson, Jaden, and he is 4 3/4 years old. What a blessing he has been to our home. I'll tell you a quick little funny story, because we like funny stories about children, don't we? 2 weeks ago in Sunday school, the teacher was going to share the gospel, and she said, "The gospel is good news. Does anyone else have some good news they want to share?" And my grandson raises his hand, and the teacher was probably thinking he was going to say something about his daddy just getting home from deployment as being the good news, but instead he said, "I don't have diarrhea anymore." And all the other children were like, "Yeah, that's great." So I guess when you're 4, things like that doesn't really matter, huh? And this is our son-in-law, Tom, and our oldest daughter, Stephanie. Stephanie's 28 years old. This is at their wedding. And our youngest daughter's name is Jamie Lee, and she'll be 26 soon. Actually, in fact, Jaden, our grandson, was born on my youngest daughter's birthday. I was thinking, what are the chances of that? Well, probably one out of 365, don't you think? Well, I look forward to meeting and talking with each one of you and enjoying sweet fellowship this weekend together. So tonight, I would like to start by sharing with you how I became a part of God's family and therefore have victory over death. But before I do, let's stop and pray. Whoops, I didn't mean that one. This one. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every lady that's here at the retreat. Oh, I just I know that there's many that weren't able to come, and so I just pray, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts in whatever their situation is. And I pray that we may have an encouraging time of fellowship and of learning your word. And I pray that each of us will be a blessing to the other. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've titled my testimony, Known by God and Special. There's no handout to fill out for this message, but in your packet, there is a page that I included called Truths One Must Believe in Order to Be Saved. And so you can just feel free to use that in whatever way you feel best. So I'll start now. Where did the black eyes and bruises come from, I wondered as I looked at my mom. My mom didn't tell me the truth, but my older sister knew, and she let the rest of us in on the secret. Well, my name is Yvonne Myers. I was born into a family with seven children, and that's me, front and center. I had seven children in 7 years, my mom would tell people. We were a good Catholic family because Catholics didn't believe in using birth control, and therefore they had very large families. Our family went to church every Sunday. Don't we look like a nice family? But our family had some major problems. My dad drank a lot and would seldom come home right after work. When he did arrive, he would be drunk and he didn't like my mom telling him anything. On several occasions, we would notice mom with black eyes or bruises or a laceration on her ankle from a pliers being thrown at her, or emotional bruises unseen by the natural eye from verbal insults slung at her. But they're there and they hurt even though you can't see them. She would tell us children that she ran into a door or make up some other excuse. Well, my oldest sister, Lily, she must have heard what was going on the night before, and she would tell us, Mom isn't telling us the truth. Dad caused the bruises. I heard them fighting last night. Well, my mom was overwhelmed with life's demands because she carried the heavy weight of a household with seven hungry mouths, 14 dirty hands, and a floor that always needed washing. Often after school, I would come home and find Mom on her hands and knees washing our huge checkerboard tiled floor. We lived in a basement, and all seven of us children shared one huge bedroom. There were two sets of bunk beds, a double bed, and a single bed spread out throughout the room. My parents fought a lot, as you can imagine. Our home was more like a battlefield instead of a loving, safe place of refuge. Art, my father, thought that he had the right to physically abuse my mother, Pauline, when he had been drinking because, quote, she nags me to no end. As a result, my parents raised some very insecure children. I never felt really loved and accepted by my dad, and I had no real role models for a meaningful relationship in my life. I longed for some attention and a way that I could feel that I was special, since I was kind of lost in the seven-child lineup. And I really wasn't anyone special or out of the ordinary. But I did get some attention in the first grade when I came home with a terrible report card. Doesn't listen to directions. Always rushes to finish first. I'm sure I was an embarrassment to my parents. So writing, I will do my best in school 100 times on a sheet of paper must have helped. Because eventually I became a very good student, listed on the honor or the merit roll, usually through junior high and high school. Even though I got good grades, I feared my dad. On the rare occasion when my dad would come home right after work, I remember being afraid when I'd see him come driving up the driveway, and I would think over the day's events to remember if I had done anything wrong or recall if I had untied my shoes or not, because Dad thought that if you put your shoes on without untying them, it would ruin them. So he didn't like that. If not, I would get the belt. And Dad would snap the belt, and he would say, "Why are you crying? I haven't even hit you yet," as he kind of snickered. I felt sorry for Mom because my dad was so mean. I even cried at the bus stop as a young girl because Mom had such a horrible marriage. I remember thinking, I never want my children to have to cry because their mommy got beat up from their daddy. I played a lot with my sisters and brothers, built-in friends, because we didn't have much money. We would take a Sears catalog, and we would pick a model that's repeated, and we'd cut her out, and that would be me, and then we'd play with them like paper dolls, you know. That was fun. My dad usually had good jobs. In fact, he painted that big bridge you saw. So he had good jobs. He was a welder and everything, but he would drink most of the money. And he wouldn't let my mom work outside the home. He was kind of possessive that way. My parents were eventually divorced when I was only in the fourth grade after my mom was threatened at gunpoint. My mom just couldn't take the abuse any longer. So Mom managed to support seven children by cleaning houses for the next several years. Even though life was hard, I got my energy from being around people and from being at school. I was sad when the weekends came and I couldn't go to school and be with my friends. Well, one time in the seventh grade, I had this friend, Kim, whose parents owned a resort up at Island Lake, which is just north of Duluth. I had slept at her house a few times before, but on this specific Friday night, my mom wouldn't let me stay at her house. She said, "I just don't like the fact that they have a wood stove and they drink a lot." Well, I didn't go, and that very night, Kim died in a house fire, which they discovered started in their wood stove. God wanted me alive for some reason. I finished high school virtually unscathed morally. I decided to attend the College of St. Scholastica for nursing. I finished 2 years, but my soul got restless, and I took a year off, and I worked at a bar as a waitress. I longed for some love and attention from men, since I didn't get any from my dad, and I went down some dead-end streets. I thought that this would make me happy. Didn't their attention prove that I was someone special? Boy, was I fooled by the world's way of thinking. I didn't have any meaningful relationships in my life except for with my mom. Mom worked to the point of exhaustion every day to buy us food and clothing, which was a great display of her love and concern for me, and I respected her for that. But in the back of my mind, I wondered if I would be special to anyone. So I re-enrolled then back at the St. Luke's School of Nursing in 1983. I felt like my life was missing some meaning and direction, and then I met Sonny, my husband, at the Sunset Lounge where we both worked. I was a bar and food waitress, and he was a bartender. He was different than most men. He really liked me for who I was. He would play songs for me on his guitar and sing, and he would leave me gifts at my dorm room door. Could this be the relationship I had desired for so many years? We started dating in 1984. I became pregnant and had our daughter, Stephanie Pauline Myers, on August 10th, 1986. Somewhere during that time, I had gone to the Pentecostal church with my mom and my sister. I listened to the speaker and I was moved emotionally because I was sorry for my sins. It was evident that I was a sinner, no doubt in my mind. In fact, Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I cried because I was sorry for my sins, and the pastor prayed while I cried. I guess I was a Christian now, or so I thought. I was led to believe that all my sins were forgiven, but after crying and praying, it was up to me to keep my slate clean. As you can imagine, this was a constant frustration as I continued to sin in thought, word, and deed. "We have a child together, so either marry me or leave," I told Sonny. I thought it was time to make a commitment to each other. Well, the pastor from the Pentecostal church was going to marry us, but we ended up calling off the wedding in March, just a few weeks before we were supposed to be married, because the pastor said, "Sonny isn't a Christian, but I'll marry you when he becomes one." However, he never gave Sonny the gospel. So we were married on July 28, 1987, by the Justice of the Peace because we loved each other and we didn't care what that pastor said. Like our glasses? They're the size of small windows. Jamie Lee Myers was born 9 months later. I thought I was a Christian. I was hoping that Sonny would become one too. Even though I was married, I did not know how to develop a relationship with my husband. We were split up and back together several times in our first year of marriage. I'm sure I was a terrible wife and mother. The first house that Sonny and I bought was right next door to Randy and Gail Zempel, a saved couple who attended Duluth Bible Church. My initial exposure to the gospel was when Randy and Gail shared it with me one evening. Randy explained John 3:16 to me, and he asked me if I knew for sure if I was going to heaven when I died and if I could do anything to lose it. And he put my name in this verse. He said, "For God so loved Yvonne that he gave his only begotten son, that if Yvonne believes in him, she will not perish but have everlasting life." He showed me that salvation was a gift received if I would simply believe. The verse doesn't say you have to stop sinning or go to church or anything else to have eternal life. It just says to believe, Randy said. Well, I had known John 3:16 since I was a little girl, but it was never explained to me as Randy explained it. I had always read other things into it that I had to do to be saved. Like I believed I had to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved or go to church or do my best. After all, I was taught my whole life that good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. I came home and I told my husband, "If what Randy told me is true, what a relief it is to know that I have the same chance of going to heaven as anybody else, and it wasn't up to my behavior." Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Because we are sinners, we earn death, and death in the Bible always speaks of separation. We deserve to be separated from a holy God because we are sinners. And if this separation went on for eternity, it would be in a place called hell. No amount of good works would ever pay that penalty for sin. Not getting baptized, not going to church, saying a prayer, asking Jesus into my heart. Only death paid the penalty for sin. Well, Sonny and I started attending Duluth Bible Church together. A saved couple would come over to our house often. We would open the Bible and read it. And Sonny wrote down verses like Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And the third one was Galatians 2:21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Or if we can do something to earn our salvation, Christ died for nothing. And he put them up on a big mirror that we had over our fireplace. And I would read them during the day and wonder, why did he pick those verses out of all the other verses in the Bible? Sonny was instrumental in my salvation, ironically. We both trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior when Jamie was 1 year old. It was cemented in our thinking on Easter morning in 1989. We sat in the front row because I think we were a little bit late. No one wants to sit in the front row. And after the Easter story, I remember thinking, I was just like a Pharisee. I trusted my own good works to save me, and I rejected Jesus Christ's work on the cross for my sins. I would have been in the crowd chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." 10,000 angels was sung at the end of the message as tears of joy and thankfulness ran down Sonny's and my cheeks. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to save him from an excruciating physical death and even worse, spiritual separation from his Father. But instead, he died alone for me. I now have a personal relationship, a meaningful relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as I grew in my Christian life, I would write down in the back of my Bible all that I was in Christ by God's grace. These truths were comforting to me. Because of my past childhood, I became very thankful for my relationship with Jesus Christ, as it was unlike anything I had ever had before. I was now fully loved and accepted unconditionally, the very thing I desired, and we all desire, and yet eluded me in all of my human relationships. I had a purpose and direction in my life that I never had before. An inheritance and a future hope awaited me. I had the assurance of my salvation, and it wasn't based on my performance. I am known by God and special. I always wondered if I'd be anything special to anyone, but special to God is more than I could have ever hoped for. No one or nothing can separate me from the love of God. Remember how I feared my dad? Well, I never have to fear my Heavenly Father, because He poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ when He died on the cross for our sins. And God will never treat us in wrath. Even when He disciplines us, ladies, it's out of love. I am complete, even though my life had been a mess from the beginning. I always thought something was missing in my life, but now there is nothing lacking. I will never be abandoned. I can count on my Heavenly Father always being there for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I have access to God at any moment through prayer. What a privilege when you think about that. I possess every imaginable spiritual blessing, which includes being in Christ and having all my sins forgiven. And I, Yvonne Myers, am a partner with Jesus Christ in life, privilege, suffering, and service. Why me? Why did I have all these riches in Christ? Because of God's amazing grace, that's why. I don't deserve to have a long-desired relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a tremendous gift. And He is an excellent role model to follow of how to have a true, meaningful, personal relationship. Before salvation, I had the counterfeit, but now I have the real. Since salvation, I have had many meaningful relationships in my life, especially with Jesus Christ, my husband, my daughters, my son-in-law, my grandson, my saved siblings, and other believers. The God of the universe loves me. This realization has satisfied my basic need for self-worth. God took the instability of my younger years and turned it into my eternal good. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. And along with all these many blessings that I received at salvation, there's a blessing of having victory over death. The gospel gives us victory over death because when Jesus died and arose, He destroyed death. 2 Timothy 1:10 tells us, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And when Jesus died and arose again, He destroyed the one who had the power of death, and He freed us who believe from the fear of death. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus came that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. In other words, He says that men, or women in this case, live their entire lives subject to the fear of death, because apart from the rapture, ladies, 10 out of 10 of us will die. But Christ has come to deliver us from that fear. And in the song, which I think we're going to sing next, in Christ alone we sing these words, there in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He arose again. And as He stands in victory, I love that part, sin's curse or death has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Listen to this. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And since Jesus died and rose again, death can never separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:37-39 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why the gospel, when it is properly understood and believed, floods a woman with delight and boldness in the face of death. This is why Paul could say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me lives even though he dies. This is why we can have the assurance that when we die, that heaven will be our home. This is why if you place your faith in Christ, you do not have to fear death. Christian, the death of Jesus means our victory over death. And we can stand in this victory. Rejoice, for your last enemy has already been defeated. Through faith in the resurrection Lord, you will live forever in his love. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? It is those who trust Christ that have hope. Do you fear death? Well, Christ has won that victory. He arose from the grave, and all those who trust in him alone share in that victory and will one day rise to enjoy that victory forevermore. So let's share this good news with others. Let's make the gospel our heartbeat, so to speak, so that others will get saved by faith. And I just wanted to give you kind of a follow-up, a side note. I've been married to my husband for 28 years now, and God has directed with every step of our marriage. It's totally by grace, and I am so thankful. I've also had the privilege to share the gospel with both of my parents since I've been saved. They both just turned 78 years old. And recently, I've been able to start up a relationship with my dad after not seeing him much for many years. But I've always been close with my mom. But I've kept my dad in prayer, and I've asked my church even to pray for him. And something happened that was amazing. He fell into his wood stove. Do you know what a wood stove is? You don't have to heat much, I understand. But he fell into it, and he burned his arm really bad. And he had to have skin graft surgery. So I went with him to the surgery, and I was there every day, and he would tell me, I love you, and kiss me on the lips every time before I leave. And I've seen him every day since for the first 11 days, because I'm a nurse, and I would go change his dressings, sit and have a cup of coffee with him. And it's just been miraculous. It's answer to prayer. It's just amazing. I've been able to share the gospel with him several times just in conversation as we go back and forth. And so I want to ask you to please pray for Art and Pauline's salvation. And thank you, and I look forward to meeting and fellowshipping with each one of you this weekend. So let's end in a word of prayer, please. Father, thank you that you made salvation so easy, that anyone who trusts Christ's work on the cross will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you that you love us and nothing can separate us from that love. And thank you that we don't have to be afraid of death, as Christ has won the victory. And I pray for our time here at the retreat, Lord, that it will be sweet fellowship around your Son, all to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.